Now, our person who we're waiting for has arrived. We were even winding our hands wanting to know your whereabouts, because your arrival, your late arrival, not that you are late, it gave us an opportunity to do some other business for the day. So you at least you arrived in time, because we were expecting you to be here at to start your work at 10:30. Before we fume ourselves, so you arrived in time. Our second briefing will be presented by Andre. I think you can introduce yourself and then tell us your position at the Castle of Good Hope.
Honourable members, thank you so much for the opportunity to present the Castle of Good Hope to you.
Perfect.
Honourable members, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to present the Castle of Good Hope to you. My name is Audrey Achenbach. I'm a member of the Castle Control Board, appointed by the Minister of Defence, and also responsible for the Defence Endowment Portfolio in the Department of Defence. I'm also representing the Chief of Logistics, Major General J.T. Gunyani, who is also the chairperson to the Castle Control Board.
Thank you very much. Members have already introduced themselves, so I don't think we can do it because that's to save time. They will tell the when they raise that question, they'll be saying, "I'm John."
Thank you.
Andrew, or whoever. Like everybody, we know that the Castle of Good Hope is a heritage site by most of the departments. When I have my parents, I own them, and they own me as a child. So the reason why I'm saying so, the two departments, Arts and Culture, and the Department of Defense, are claiming to be the owners or the possessors of the castle, but it's a heritage site.
Mm-hmm.
We do qualify as Arts and Culture, so but we want other departments also to come and account that what actually are they doing there, because most of the departments really are supposed to be helping for its survival, because otherwise if we don't really take care of it, the history will be gone. Like now the Defense Force still is here to brief us and understand and learn to listen to what are their dynamics, their assistance, their claim. It helps Arts and Culture also to survive. To maintain that thing needs the Public Works also to extend its hand, all sorts of these departments really have to come and do something for the history of our country. Those who don't know the Castle of Good Hope will hear. I know that all members know where this castle is. Over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture requested the Minister of Defence to discuss the mandate of the castle. I will therefore enlighten the committee on the management and ultimate ownership control of the Castle of Good Hope. I will present a brief introduction to the castle, whereafter I will be discussing the two most relevant acts to the castle, the Defence Endowment Act and the Castle Management Act. The Minister of Defence as the executive authority to the castle, both as a public entity and as a defence endowment property, followed by the Castle Management Act repeal bill, and then finally the conclusion. The introduction to the castle. Work on the foundations of the castle started in 1665, and its cornerstones were laid on 2 January 1666. Since then, it's been the centre of military and cultural life at the Cape. It was built by soldiers, slaves, sailors of the Dutch East India Company as headquarters of its maritime replenishment station. The castle was a powerful link in the trade between East and West, and witnessed the arrival in Africa of new peoples, languages, religions, customs, fashions, forms of government, and flags. Like a true castle, its function has always been more than military, for it had lodgings, offices, warehouses, kitchens, and even a chapel. But its military presence was so formidable that no army or navy ever dared to test it. The five traditional regiments have been situated in the castle for many years, and it takes part in the opening of Parliament, also displaying their colours during medal, church and other parades such as the SS Mendi and Al Alamein. Until this day, the presence of uniformed soldiers performing guard duties and colourful ceremonies are linked in the chain of the castle's long military history. The castle is always a popular attraction by day and night, a historical school for thousands of scholars annually, and a must-see for the international military tourist, and of course the envy of many a city in South Africa. The Defence Endowment Property and Account Act. As quoted in the 1922 Act, it makes provision for the taking over by the Union Government of all War Department lands and buildings and certain Admiralty lands in the Union, for the conserving of them for defence purposes, and further to make certain financial and other provision in respect of matters incidental thereto. Defence Endowment property was therefore transferred to the Government of the Union for the exclusive benefit of the Defence Force Organisation, in today's terms the Department of Defence, or to conserve the value of them for the benefit of this department. According to the schedule attached to the Defence Endowment Property and Account Act, the castle is a Defence Endowment property, therefore transferred to the Department of Defence for the use and benefit of this department. Since 1922, the castle has been governed and managed by the Minister of Defence. As stipulated in this Act, the Minister of Defence is appointed trustee with ultimate ownership responsibility for all Defence Endowment property, and therefore also the castle. Slide 7, I'm not going to discuss this in detail, but this is the information as stipulated in the appendix attached to the Act. It basically says that there are two portions of land. The one is the castle as we know it, the five-star Pentagon, the one corner Darling Strand Street, and the other one is the portion behind that, and that's referred to as the old fort. That is currently used by South African National Defence Force operational units. The next slide. The Act makes provision for the following conditions with regard to the management of Defence Endowment property: lease, transfer of land, servitudes granted, disposals, etc. It's, however, the ultimate decision of the Minister of Defence regarding all of the above conditions. I'm going to discuss the Castle Management Act now, and also I want to quote from the Act. It was to establish the Castle Control Board for the purpose of exercising certain powers and performing certain functions and duties in respect of the land and buildings comprising the castle, to provide for the purchase of the castle by the board, to provide for the employment of staff by the board, and to provide for matters connected therewith. The next slide. The Castle Control Board was established by the Castle Management Act, and in terms of this act, the Castle of Good Hope was placed under control of the board and shall exercise the powers and perform the functions and duties conferred and imposed upon it by this act. The board consists of the following members: representatives from the Department of Defense, the Cape Town Regional Chambers of Commerce and Industry, Iziko Museums of Cape Town, the Department of Public Works, the South African Heritage Resources Agency, the Army Support Base Western Cape, the City of Cape Town, the South African Tourism Board, now Cape Town Roots Unlimited, two appointments made by the Minister of Defence, the Western Cape Provincial Legislature, and then the Executive Director. The Castle Control Board was designated a Schedule 3A public entity in accordance with the Public Finance Management Act. And the Castle Control Board is responsible for the management of the castle in terms of tourism, financial control, and corporate governance on behalf of the Minister of Defence. According to Section 3 of this Act, the objectives of the board are to preserve and protect the military and cultural heritage of the castle, to optimize tourism potential of the castle, and to maximize the accessibility of the public to the castle. The Castle Control Board has for the previous 4 years received an unqualified audit report from the Auditor General with sound financial statements. During the last 2 years, relevant specialists have been appointed to the board to assist with the execution of its specialist responsibilities. A very important aspect is that the Castle Control Board and the Department of Defence has reached a synergy with regards to the management of the castle. The Department of Defence supports the Castle Control Board in terms of the remuneration of approximately 10 SANDF members seconded to the castle section. Also, personnel from the logistics and financial divisions of the Department of Defence assist with the strategic and operational management of the castle, also on behalf of the Minister. The Minister of Defence as the executive authority. This slide is a consolidation of the information with regards to the previous two acts that I mentioned, but interpreted in terms of the mandate of the Minister as the executive authority, which is quite clear and enshrined in statute. The board as a public entity has an executive authority, the cabinet member accountable to Parliament, and in this instance, the Minister of Defence. The Department of Defence is mandated by the Minister of Defence as the government department responsible for the management of the castle. The Minister of Defence is mandated to exercise strategic control over both the Castle Control Board and the castle as a defence facility. The Minister remains the trustee with ultimate ownership responsibility for the castle as a defence endowment property. The next three slides, I'll be discussing the Castle Management Act Repeal Bill. The purpose of the 2008 Repeal Bill was firstly to repeal the Castle Management Act, secondly to dissolve the Castle Control Board, and then thirdly to transfer the administrative management or the management and administrative control to the Department of Arts and Culture. After various deliberations and meetings with the Portfolio Committee on Defence, the following concerns were raised by them. The implications of the repeal bill was not clear. The implications of the envisaged transfer and management of administrative functions were not clear. the reasons provided by the DoD for the repeal of the Act were not sufficient. The capacity of the Department of Arts and Culture to administer the castle were in question. Alternatives such as public-private partnerships to repealing the Act were not investigated. The Department of Arts and Culture were misinformed with regards to the transfer of ownership of the castle. If I can just elaborate on that one, I think they were under the impression that we were going to transfer the ownership and then dispose of the entire property to them. That was never the impression we were under. And that's why the Portfolio Committee on Defense felt that this was not sufficiently discussed between the two departments. It was also unclear whether alternative management strategies were explored prior to the repeal, and there were also severe limited consultations with regards to the Castle Management Act repeal. Slide 15, the Department of Defense, as well as the Department of Arts and Culture, received various opportunities to present to the Portfolio Committee on Defense, where after they recommended that the Department of Defense reconsider the repeal bill. This bill was withdrawn by the Minister on 4 June 2008. It was also recommended by the Portfolio Committee on Defense that the Department of Defense, in conjunction with the Castle Control Board, continue to exercise strategic control over the castle. All deliberations and discussions with regards to the possible transfer to Arts and Culture were discontinued. In conclusion, a Department of Defense ministerial instruction was issued on 20 July 2008, which stipulated that the transfer of management and administrative control of the castle is to be discontinued with immediate effect, as well as all statutory bodies appointed by the Minister of Defense responsible for the management of the castle should continue to do so. And then I want to conclude by reiterating that the characteristic military aura of discipline, smartness, efficiency and color precisely reflect the manner in which the castle has been managed by defense over the last few centuries. Thank you, Madam Chair.
That was court and bondage.
Thank you.
Which means that everybody was more attentive to can raise whatever questions for clarity. Maybe I can kick start with the question. We happen to hear, I believe it's your interest also because well, that's a rumor, those are just that allegations, we'll hear from you because you belong to the board, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
you are a board member. There are allegations that the province is also claiming the castle. I believe we, as Arts and Culture, we know that it's of national competency. You happen to mention the unqualified audit report. How and why? You said that I can't say allegations, but you mentioned the unqualified audit report. We are not clear there. And the question that, which says, I'm not quite clear whether there is an agreement between DEC and the Department of Defense Force that they are working hand in hand for the survival of that heritage, because it's a national heritage, which we need not to lose that identity. Those are my few questions. Honorable members, the time is here.
Honorable Eshiva.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe before you must explain to us, others we don't know what is this Castle of Good Hope.
Not
she's mentioning that she doesn't know where is it located. The castle will always say Jan van der Beek Castle. Honorable Lodrid, followed by Honorable Kuno.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to find out, seeing that our interest is in the heritage aspect of the castle, if one looks at the staff complement at the castle, do you have qualified curators looking after the heritage items and artifacts?
Honorable Kuno.
Thanks. One of my questions has been covered, but I wanted to actually say that it was indeed a good presentation. The only thing is that if we could have the other presentation that you had, because I think it has more information than the presentation that was given us. The notes that you need.
Yeah.
I think they were more informative.
That those ones were more informative.
Yeah, they were more informative.
Mm-hmm.
Vere?
Yes. Two questions. One is about the tourism potential. With the background that this heritage site dates back to 1600, whereby the slaves were part of, when they built it, the slaves were part of it, and the soldiers, and obviously the Jan van der Beek crew. So, if I'm to put it, and what are you doing to enhance the visitor's experience in Castle of Good Hope in terms of all racial grounds of South Africa, all whites, and how are they benefiting about the site? And my other question is the management of Castle of Good Hope. You mentioned that at the Department of Arts and Culture, was in question about the management of the Castle of Good Hope. And just to follow up on that one, what was their responsibility, if there were, there was, and what is it that they didn't do? If you can, you're saying that they didn't, their role was in question, then maybe if you can just clarify on that one for us. Thank you, Chair.
Before she responds, last week we learned that in most of the heritage sites, there's a problem of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You find that people who are in these management positions, they're actually old, male, white, and you know, people are not growing up. They will be told that they don't have necessary qualifications and all that. Is that the case with this site? You know, what he said earlier on, even though I had a problem of him asking questions because it's for members of parliament, not from anybody from the department, I think, but the questions that he has asked are really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, slaves who took part there, what is it that you are doing back for them, you know? It happened long time ago, but what are you doing to plow back to those tears and the sufferings the people endured during that time?
Another question. A question from Honorable Kuno really provoked me when I really knew that it was said that it is historic. What we know is that that's why people call it the Jan van der Beek Castle. I remember one year when we visited Holland, I happened to see a boat wreck on the banks of the sea. And if I wanted to know, who is this Jan van der Beek? Where is he? He's an unknown person from his home. But somehow we are taking back our history as if he's a historian who really created our history, who have our own history. Mm-hmm. I was worried. I wanted to know who is this, and we don't know him. I said, no, he distorted our history, that it appears as if our history started when Jan van Riebeeck was in South Africa, which was really 100% wrong. Mm. So how do you communicate with the Hollanders, whether they come and see who is this Jan van Riebeeck from South Africa? In the absence of questions, I think you can respond to the question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Firstly, the question, your question with regards to the province claiming the castle, this is the first I've heard of this. I've never heard of this rumour before. I've heard many rumours, but not this one. So perhaps you can enlighten me, but I'm sorry. I can't give you an answer on that.
The allegations, we wanted a proof from you.
Sorry, no. The unqualified audit report, meaning we did not receive any qualifications. According to the Auditor General, there's minor findings in the castle, but no real problems. A clean audit, which we are very proud of. The next question was with regards to an agreement between the Department of Arts and Culture, the South African National Defence Force, and the Castle Control Board. We have the Department of Arts and Culture, as I mentioned, there's two representatives from the department on the Castle Control Board. Firstly, Iziko Museums of Cape Town, Professor Yati Bredenkamp, and then also the regional manager of the South African Heritage Resources Agency. Now we receive assistance from, and of course advice from SARA with regards to the heritage assets management. And there's also a cultural history museum of Iziko situated in the castle. So in the Castle Control Board, there's a wonderful working relationship between all these specialists. There's, however, no formal agreements in place. But informal agreements and working relationships, yes. The honourable member that asked where is the castle, it's situated on the corner of, between Darling and Strand Street. Basically, opposite the Grand Parade. Do you, can you... But it's basically just behind my back. Behind the station. The heritage aspect, the staff, do we have qualified personnel to look after the artifacts? We have a qualified curator. He's a museologist. He's the curator of the Castle Military Museum, and yes, very professional, qualified. I can provide a copy of these notes to you by tomorrow, but I would have to edit them some, and then I could provide them to you. The tourism potential, that was your question. The tourism potential, we are marketing at all schools in the Western Cape, and we've now in the process of initiating a project together with the Ministry of Defence, where we are going to market in all schools in South Africa. But when you go to the castle today, you will see groups of all schools in the Western Cape. You'll see children from Guguletu, you'll see just about everybody there. We do have a limited capacity with regards to marketing. We have a problem with personnel. As I said, we have 10 members seconded by the Department of Defence, and then also 8 members employed by the Castle Control Board. The 8 members employed by the Castle Control Board are mainly qualified guides. However, we do not have a permanent person in charge of the marketing. The other question, the Department of Arts and Culture, or the Portfolio Committee on Defense, one of their concerns were that the Department of Arts and Culture were not capable, or not at that stage, they did not have the resources to look after the castle. I'm sorry, but I cannot really answer on their behalf. But what I can say is, exactly during that period of the deliberations, it came to light the whole Robben Island unsavory situation came to light. And I think that might have been one of the reasons why they made that comment. With regard to the transformation at the castle personnel, we are trying to appoint a CEO, and that person will obviously be the right person. We, however, cannot appoint that CEO until we are self-sustainable. And there's a massive drive in the Castle Control Board, because they are responsible for the tourism and the marketing, etc. There's a massive drive towards self-sustainability. And that is actually one of the things that's mentioned in our Auditor General report every year. And that's also mentioned in the Act. We do have to appoint an executive director. That is stated in the Act. And we have not done that. Unfortunately, the personnel that's currently at the castle, the 10 SANDF members seconded from the SANDF, from the Defence Force, they've been there for many a year. So it's definitely not representative. But the new people coming in, the castle guards, the castle guides, etc., we are slowly but surely getting there. And yes, of course, ma'am, the history did not start with Jan van Riebeeck. And the Castle Military Museum displays the history of the military history in the Cape. And that starts right at the beginning. So when you walk into the Castle Military Museum, you'll see that Jan van Riebeeck and the castle as we know it is but a very small portion of this entire, yes. So all the different frontier wars, they are exhibited, but then Iziko Museums of Cape Town, their professional staff is also very involved in this. And of course, Professor Bredenkamp, the CEO or the previous CEO, he's also very involved in these kind of displays. I hope I've answered your questions, but if there's more, then we can.
Thank you, Chair. May I know, do you give any help as far as education is concerned? Maybe such as bursaries or so.
Honorable Kuno.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it is my duty as a member of parliament and as a public representative to make sure that there is transformation. You know, after 15 years being in governance, there's really no excuse. Why can't we transform? You know, last week, we're saying that we need to bring South Africans together. Mm-hmm. You know, this thing of saying, you know, this is a white thing, therefore no blacks can come in, and this is a black thing, no whites can come in, has to come to an end. And the only people who have to drive that, who have to make sure that this, it has to end, is us have to, making it implementable, you know. So if you say to me, there's really no change, we need to see change. We need to see change. You know, Department of Defense is one of the departments that is said not to be transforming at all. You know, they will tell you the what are they called? The soldiers? Are they called soldiers?
Yes.
They will tell you that for them to get promotions and all that is a real problem. Now I'm saying that, you know, the career path has to be clear. You know, people cannot, you know, I cannot work in a company being a cleaner for 20 years. And, you know, there's nothing that is happening in terms of promotion and all that. And people keep on saying that you do not have skills, you do not have right qualifications and all that. You will only have that if at the workplace there's that environment that allows you to actually study further and improve yourself. You know what she's asking, if there are any buzzers, if there's any systems in place to make sure that you're not a cleaner or a tea lady or a filing clerk for the rest of your life. You know, people have to, you know, the career paths had to be clear. I mean, we are the new generation that is coming, that is coming on. And, you know, we should be saying, you know, if you have been deployed in a particular place for 5 years, you should be saying, you know, I've made a difference. You know, I in my time, there are five managers who started being filing clerks, and now they're somewhere else, you know. I'm saying this because we are trying to say that this thing of saying, you know, this territory is ours and nobody is supposed to come in, it has to come to an end. We are all South Africans. You know, the 2010 has made, you know, has made it a point that, you know, is the fact that we can come together if we want to as South Africans. And I think it's a good example. So with that spirit, we need to change that. But, you know, earlier on what he has asked, the question of tourism, when you go to Kirstenbosch, it's a very good garden thing. You know, when you walk there, you feel, you know, the difference, the refreshing air and all that. But the people who come there are not people from Gugulethu. It can be said in the papers and all that, but when you actually go there and check, those people from Gugulethu and everywhere else, they don't come and visit those kind of gardens and all that. I'm trying to say that we need to change pattern of how we do things as South Africans. It's not a white thing or a black thing anymore. We are all South Africans, and we need to strive to make sure that people come together. You know, if Castle of Good Hope, if it means generation of, if we want to generate money, let us make sure when we do that, we think about people who can't afford to come to Kirstenbosch and pay an X amount of money to actually come and say, you know, my great-great-great-grandfather, you know, Bill has built this castle, and I need to come and see what is happening. You know, this is the history. This is what we are taught in South Africa. So we need to come. You know, I think we need to have a way of making sure that, you know, everybody comes and see all these things that are happening, not only a few people. And some of those, the problems thereof will be money, you know, money that you pay to get into those sites and all that. I'm just trying to say that let us involve everybody. And we think when we think about money, let us think about other people who cannot afford, but like we said, what are you doing to the parents or whoever has built that castle? Is it work done and that's it? They've built a castle and that's it. They are part of history, but what are you doing about that? Is it written somewhere? Can we go and read, you know, Utatukuno 20 years ago was part of this thing or what? Thank you, Chairperson.
I think
Nikki wants to
raise
something.
I know it's not customary for a researcher as a parliamentary staff member to ask questions, but merely in order to make our work perhaps a little easier, whether you could please indicate if you have produced an annual report and whether the things you refer to, matters of emphasis, perhaps could briefly allude to those. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Your response?
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, we do not have any bursaries. We have limited financial resources. The Castle of Good Hope does not get a government grant such as other public entities, and we do struggle. Especially with regards to maintenance of the castle. As you well know, a historic facility of that magnitude takes specialist restoration and maintenance. And that places a huge burden on the Castle Control Board. Honourable Member, I cannot agree with you more with regards to the transformation. And when I do give feedback to the Castle Control Board, I will discuss this with them. I can also say that there's a meeting tomorrow with Chief of the Army with regards to a lot of issues at the castle, the personnel structure and perhaps new more personnel seconded to the castle will be discussed with him, and I know I will be there. This will be included in the discussion. I also do think that with regards to the promotion of the castle and marketing of the castle, that with the new project that we are going into with the Ministry of Defence, that this will also be very successful. And of course the annual report, I brought a copy with me, and I can also deliver copies to all the board members today or tomorrow. I do have a, if you don't mind, I just need to look in my file for the audit report. I must say that the majority of the findings with regards to the castle control board, but now I do have to say that it was just the castle control board. That's the public entity, and that was audited by the Auditor General. So this annual report is on the Castle Control Board, and not on the castle itself. The majority of the findings were with regards to the strategic plan that was not 100% in line with what they expected. But I have a copy here of the draft strategic plan. They have seen, the Auditor General have looked at this, at the draft plan, and they were quite happy with this. There's a few things that we need to change on this, and then by next year, by the next audit, they should be happy with our new strategic plan. They also expected us to provide quarterly reports on the progress in achieving measurable objectives and targets, which we haven't been doing. We do report on the Castle Control Board meetings, on the quarterly meetings, we do report, but they want, and it's of course minuted, but they want formal reports. Another issue, and that was also with regards to the strategic plan, the usefulness of reported performance information. They feel that the performance information, as stipulated in the strategic plan, was not really what was expected of the Castle Control Board, but we are in process of achieving that. Planned and reported performance targets not specific, also with regards to the performance information. And then compliance with laws and regulations, the PFMA and Treasury regulations, non-adherence to legislation. According to Treasury regulations, we do not have a fraud prevention plan, which we do have now. Contrary to the requirements of the PFMA, the entity did not apply to National Treasury to retain its surplus. Contrary to the requirements of the National Treasury practice note, a list of prospective suppliers to be used for the procurement requirements was not complied by the accounting authority. And then internal control. It says, I considered internal control relevant to my audit of the financial statements and the report on determined objectives and compliance with the PFMA, but not for the purpose of expressing an opinion on the effectiveness of internal control. The matters reported are limited to the deficiencies identified during the audit. Governance, the Castle Control Board does not have a fraud prevention plan in place. the Castle Control Board, as well as the employees involved in procurement that were not required to disclose any interesting companies that they may possibly have. And these were the only issues that were raised by the Auditor General. Thank you.
Any follow-up questions from honorable members? So, in the absence of further questions, we feel great that at least we got a briefing. It is true that we wanted a briefing from you, that when we are briefed, we become enlightened and know what to talk and what to do and what to suggest for the survival of the castle. So when we call you again, it's not a sign of lobbying. I mean, we have to be open that we want to, we must have knowledge so that when people ask us, we respond to the questions. And believing that members are not satisfied with your briefings, I think this brings to the end of our meeting for today. No further questions. When we call you, you will come, I believe. This brings to the end of our meeting for the day. Unless, oh, by the way, there's another question item to attend to, you are released.
Thank you so much.
When we come to the Castle of Good Hope, we must see some changes like people really, members really suggested. It mustn't be seen as a castle for the whites or for the Hollanders. Everybody should be participating, like you mentioned, even the curator, because people are lacking knowledge, because sometimes you find that there are people, there are no people who can tell the story or the history of the area.
Honorable members, oh, let me.